Welcome to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Big Money Podcast. It's Friday, November 6th, and a bill that creates a full public financing system for Wisconsin Supreme Court elections is on the governor's desk. The legislature approved the impartial justice bill on Thursday, and with us is Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, to tell us about the bill and why it's important. First off, Mike, after several attempts to pass this, the measure finally reaches the legislative finish line. How does it feel, and why did it pass this time around?
Oh, this is an historic achievement. This bill has been introduced every session since 1999, so this has been a 10-year-long struggle, and I have long since lost count of the number of times people have compared us to Sisyphus trying to push that boulder up the mountain only to have it roll back down to the bottom, and then you push it back up to the top and it rolls back down to the bottom. Well, this time Sisyphus actually got the boulder over the top, and that's an incredible feeling. This is a victory for the whole state, and it's such a thrill to see that all the phone calls and all the emails and all the personal visits that people have made to the offices of their legislators pay off. All the groups that have been involved there with us pushing for this for years, and finally, they all made history, and we got this bill passed, and it's going to the governor's desk, and the governor says he'll sign it. This is the only public financing bill that's been passed in any state this year, and this is only the third time that public financing for judicial elections has been passed anywhere in the country. So, truly, supporters of this bill have made history.
Okay. What does the bill do, and why is it important to the average Joe that it becomes law?
What the bill does is create a system of publicly financed Supreme Court elections, and that frees candidates for the high court from the money chase to run and to get a message out to voters and compete for this office. Candidates are not going to have to go out and raise all kinds of money from private special interests. And the problem is that in the recent past, you've had all this special interest money raised, and then those candidates end up on the court, and those big donors are standing before them in court and arguing cases in before the Supreme Court. That is a built-in conflict of interest, and it is seriously undermining public confidence in the independence of the Supreme Court and the fairness and impartiality of the justices. So what this bill does is it frees them, it liberates them from that grubby practice of having to raise all that special interest money to run, and it also gives them the ability to get supplemental grants if they face a high-spending opponent or some outside attacks. Now, it doesn't solve every problem that's plaguing the Supreme Court, and it doesn't address every single issue that needs to eventually get addressed. We also need to see a bill that's been introduced in the Senate is Senate Bill 43, a bill that's been introduced in the Assembly is Assembly Bill 63. They're identical bills, and they would address these outside so-called issue ad groups that are running these attack ads, but doing it without any disclosure. They don't have to report their spending or their funding sources. That needs to be done too, so that this impartial justice bill can trigger grants, supplemental funds to candidates to combat that too. So it doesn't solve everything, but it sure does take a huge step toward getting candidates out of this trap that they're right now in, having to raise all this money and then rule on cases involving those big contributors after they've gone to the bench. I think it'll also open up these races to more candidates. There will be people who right now just don't see any possibility of raising the kind of money that is required to compete for Supreme Court who will jump in. I think we'll see some contested primaries. I think we'll see more choices for voters. All of that, I think, is to the benefit of the court in the long run.
The Democracy Campaign has pointed to the two nasty races for the high court in 2007 and 2008, as the need for this and other reforms like issue ad disclosure. But can you pinpoint a specific instance or occurrence or television commercial or anything like that in some of those past races that this proposal would have remedied or prevented from happening?
Well, you know, there is the infamous Loophole Louie ad. There was and one that was really reminiscent of the infamous Willie Horton ad from the 1988 presidential campaign. Well, if the Willie Horton ad got run today under this new law, at least the victim of that ad would get some money to combat it and would be able to say, hey, that's not true. The claims that are being made are simply not true. And they wouldn't have to go out and raise a bunch of private special interest money to counter that sort of attack. So it won't, unless we get full disclosure of these phony issue ads, which is an incredibly important next step that we have to make, we won't be able to give candidates the ability to counter everything that's thrown at them, but we will be able to give candidates the ability to counter a great many things, including the sort of Willie Horton type ad that really was based on outright lies, and that needs to be countered. You're not going to have a situation where the tone of advertising can be changed, but you sure can put candidates in the position of being able to have the resources to counter these kinds of attacks without having to compromise their own integrity and their own independence by raising a bunch of special interest cash to pay for those countering ads. So, that's really important. I don't know that there was a single flashpoint. The 2007 and 2008 races both were about $6 million. They both were ugly with ads that were just down in the gutter. Clearly, that was a big motivating factor. But even the last race in 2009, it didn't degenerate into the sort of mudslinging that you saw in 2007 and 2008, but we saw the incumbent Chief Justice raise $1.5 million and set a record for fundraising because she was afraid she would face those kinds of attacks. And now she will routinely encounter big campaign contributors in court. So, she was caught up in a system that eventually will put her in a position where she'll be accused of having conflicts of interest and people will demand that she recuse herself. So even the winners of these recent races have been losers in the sense that their independence will be challenged and questioned. So I really think 2009 was also a very powerful reason why we needed this kind of reform, not just 2007 and 2008.
Okay. Does this bill relate in any way to the Supreme Court's public hearing in late October where they approved rules written by special interests that will govern when the justices should and should not hear cases before the court?
Oh, the two are absolutely related, and this bill is an incredibly important, much-needed countermeasure to what the Supreme Court did last week. It was a very forceful and timely reaction to the court's action. What the court's majority did was just an outrageous act of arrogance. The court approved rules written by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Realtors Association, allowing judges to rule on cases involving their biggest campaign contributors. That sends a horrible message to the public that the judges are free to decide cases even when they have obvious financial conflicts of interest and they have their biggest campaign supporters standing before them in court. I think the Impartial Justice Bill is an extraordinarily important countermeasure because now it gives candidates the ability to communicate with voters, to go out there and run vigorous campaigns without having to raise all that private special interest money. And it enables them to be more independent. We still need a strong issue ad bill to get at these sham issue ads that are being run by these outside groups to sort of make impartial justice as effective as it can be. But just the law that now is being put into effect here will at least enable candidates to not so regularly have to face big campaign contributors in court. So it is a very direct and much needed reaction to those rules written by those special interest groups.
And just as a side note, during yesterday's Senate debate on the bill, we got an indication from Senator John Erpenbach that the Majority Leader Russ Decker has decided to schedule this for January or February. Is that news?
Well, you know, there's been some hints or some rumblings that bill would be the next one to come up, but what happened during the Senate debate was the most direct and public notification that indeed the Senate plans to act on that full disclosure bill for these special interest electioneering groups. And I think adding that to this piece, the impartial justice bill, really would be an incredibly important step, and then truly would get us back to the point where we can take these auctions that these Supreme Court elections have been turned into and get them turned back into elections.
Okay. It seems that money and how much public policies and programs cost are a big issue in these times. So how much does this bill, the impartial justice bill, cost? Where is the money coming from, and how do you justify spending on something like this at this time?
Well, if you had two candidates who decided to run, and they agreed to take the public financing, and they agreed to the spending limits that come along with it, the cost could be as little as $600,000, which is barely over a dime per taxpayer per year. Now, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau said that if you had candidates who took the public financing but then faced outside attacks and got supplemental funds to enable them to counter those attacks, that the cost could run up to as much as $3.5 million a year. Now, there are 3.9 million taxpayers in this state, so what we're talking about is 90 cents per taxpayer per year in the worst-case scenario where you had the highest possible cost. Independent courts and fair and impartial judges are priceless and are well worth 90 cents a year. The money comes from the general fund. I think it's an incredibly valuable investment that all of us as taxpayers can make. And when you're talking on the outside realm of what the possible cost is, when you're talking about 90 cents a year to protect the integrity of the Supreme Court, I think that's a worthwhile investment.
Okay. Finally, getting back to something you said in the first question, that this bill has come up since 1999. It's never really even come close legislatively to passing both houses. I think in the past I've seen one house pass it and the other house hasn't even held a committee hearing maybe. This time, 51 to 42 and 19 to 13, both healthy majorities in both houses. Why did it pass this time?
Well, I think probably of all the factors, the most important was just stamina. Just being willing to keep at this for 10 years and keep pushing and keep trying to pin legislators down. Last session, it was really important. We reached a point where we had gotten roll call votes on this bill, and we were able to get enough people pinned down and then get candidates during the 2008 election to publicly commit to support it. We actually entered this legislative session with a majority of this legislature on record supporting the bill. It just took a lot of stamina and kind of the slow, methodical business of pinning legislators down on this issue to get to the point where it could pass. But I can't overstate the importance of the impact of the last three state Supreme Court elections. I think that's ultimately what pushed this over the finish line. People looked at what happened in these races and were absolutely mortified. And I think the people of Wisconsin just made it very clear to their elected officials, we don't want the Supreme Court to be jeopardized in this way. We don't want these kinds of Supreme Court elections. And so I think the demand for reform ratcheted up significantly.
Okay. Well, thanks for your comments, Mike. For additional information about the Impartial Justice Bill, please check out the Legislative Initiative section on the Democracy Campaign's website. Thanks.